Thank you, Doug. Thanks so much for your preparation. Let's pray for you. Father God, I want to thank you for this wonderful man who you've called into your service. Thank you for his gifts, his many gifts that you've given him, particularly with leadership. And so we thank you that he, for all his preparation, we ask that you would use him now and speak through him to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So I've had quite a bit of time the last 2 weeks. I've been starting to go through James, and when we were starting to talk about the James series, we'd really been trying to struggle with the book and get to grips with it. And as Tone said, one of the key themes that comes out in James is this issue of faith. And I'm just so encouraged every time I come to church and see the threads that God is weaving together. So last week, if you remember, Harvey shared. And it was so lovely, Harvey spoke about faith and obedience. So the way God is leading us is not random. He's got a plan for us, and the next thing he's wanting to speak to us about, we believe, is faith. So I'm going to be speaking about growing faith today. And as Tony said, the book of James talks about a whole lot of different things. So I'm not going to dive in and just focus on the first few verses. I'm going to give a broad overview about what faith is, but bringing in some of the first verses in James. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So I've entitled the message today, Growing Faith, because that's what God wants to do in our lives. Okay, thanks, Pat. So before we start talking about faith, we need to understand what it is. And I've got to say, I'm someone who's very much a head person rather than a heart person. So sometimes this thing of faith is quite hard to really grasp. Like, what is it? So I spent a lot of time sort of wrestling with that. And fortunately, there are a lot of answers in the Bible when we're unsure. So it's a good place to start. And if we read from Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Okay, so I think what's interesting for me, it talks about hope and assurance. And for me, the easiest word that kind of sums that up is a trust in something. It's a real trust. And I think we can have faith, not just in God. We can have faith in a whole lot of things. And when I was thinking about this faith, a story that Des shared a little while ago about her and Daddy on a road trip sort of came to mind. Because we can have faith in things like a car, to get us from one place to another. And in Des's case, she also had faith in her husband that if the car broke down, her husband was going to be able to fix it for her. So we can have faith in people too. Also, if we have an accident along the way, we can have faith that God will see us through that. Or if we don't, that he's going to take us to heaven. So faith as a word is, it's not just applied to faith in God. Faith is actually trust. A real sincere trust. And I think faith is also central to our walk with Jesus. So I'd like to look at two other verses from Hebrews here. The first one is, and I think this is really instrumental for us if we're really wanting to follow God and be sincere about it. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." So faith, as you can see, faith is absolutely central to our walk with the Lord. And if we don't trust God, we're not going to please him. So really, we've got it. It's about a trust in the Lord. In Ephesians 2:8, we read, "For it's by grace." Sorry, Pat, if you can go back one. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves; it's a gift of God." So speaking to about the fact that that first step of faith, as we trust Jesus for our lives because of what Jesus has done, that brings us into that relationship with God as well. So it's the start of our faith, of our journey with Jesus, and it's something that he wants us to keep on doing through that journey as well. Okay, there are lots of amazing pictures in the Bible. And I think the picture I'm going to speak to today is a picture of a tree. And I love rivers. I do a lot of my work around rivers and wetlands. And this verse is one of my favorite verses that I often cling to. And in Jeremiah 17:7-8, it says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." That's talking about faith. "They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So if you're in this kind of landscape, and I think there are a lot of landscapes that are a lot drier than this, you can imagine this tree, because it's planted by the water, there's a real sense of that tree being able to withstand whatever comes along. If there's drought, it's still going to be able to tap into the water that's running below the stream or in the stream. Whereas other trees that are away, that are not planted like that, are not going to be able to benefit in that way. And I think what's important as well about a tree is about its roots. A root is where it draws its nourishment from. And I'm going to speak a little bit about roots and kind of what goes below the ground that we can't see, and the tree itself, which is something beautiful that we can see when we talk about faith. Go to the next one, Pat. Thank you. Okay, so when I talk about faith today, I want to use this illustration of a tree. And it's maybe not a perfect illustration, but I think it's a beautiful one that we see in Scripture as well. And really, I believe that there's two elements to faith. There's the roots below the ground that no one can see. So no one can see in our heart how much we trust in God. They might have no idea at all. It might be that we're trusting very little. It might be that we're trusting a whole lot. That's something that's under the ground. Then the other component of that is what's above the ground. And it's really, I guess, it's the way we're living our lives. It's the way we're walking out that trust. And that often people can see. The way you're trusting God with your kids. The way you're trusting God maybe in your business, in your marriage, in different things. The way you're living your life is really what's above ground. And that's as much part of our faith as what's kind of in our hearts, isn't it? So we read there in James, and this is kind of the start of James, James starts talking to faith. And he says, in the same way, faith by itself, In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So just believing in God is not good enough. It's really about, yes, believing, we've got to trust in God, and we've got to grow those roots, but it's more than that. It can't stop there. Faith means trusting God and then living our lives as if we really do. Okay, what I want to focus on today is about what grows our faith. So we've all started out, we've all taken first steps of faith, we're different steps along the journey. And I think we all know that faith is something that can grow. It can grow in us. Trust is something that might start small, but it's something that can really increase in our marriages, in our relationships with our kids, in all sorts of things. But in God, He wants to see that trust really grow. So I've got five things that I want to share with you guys about key things that I believe really can grow your faith. Okay, so the first one might be a bit of a strange one, but it's the soil of our hearts. So talking about your own heart, if we remember from Matthew, this was spoken about, I think, about 2 weeks ago. There's a soil, the parable of the seeds and the sower, which shows a guy who's walking around and he's sowing his seeds, and some of them land on rocky ground and basically that nothing happens. Other ones, they land on shallow soil, the plant springs up and then it dies. But really the one that Jesus wanted to emphasize was the good soil. And if we read about that in Matthew 13, verse 23, it says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And I think what's important is that the soil of our hearts is something that we need to take responsibility for. You know, just your willingness to actually hear and to step in to say, God, what is it that you're wanting to say to me? No one else can do that. We've got to be willing to prepare our hearts. And it means actually coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to trust you. If we're not coming with our hearts saying, Lord, I want to trust you, what is it that you're having for me? we're not going to be growing. Do you see that? Okay, so the soils of our hearts is something that's critical. If it's rocky, we need to clear out those rocks and give God a chance to speak to us. So let's spend time in God's Word and asking Him to make our hearts good soil for Him. And I think there we were also warned that, and if we read the parable of the sower, we need to be careful that we don't get so concerned about worries and making wealth that we're so busy with those things that we actually don't have time for the Lord, because those are the things that get in the way. All right, let's move to the second one then. And I think this is one I'm sure we all know. And I kind of see it's God's Word, what He has to say to us. And I kind of see it as fertilizer to the soil, in a sense. So you can have soil that can be pretty good, and there can be some growth happening. But I think if you really want to see growth really happening, you need to have fertilizer applied. And Tim was sharing a story last week about one of his lands that he on the farm that he was dealing with that had been limed. And with that lime, that soil was just so much better. And I think if our faith is going to grow, God's Word is central to that. And we read about that in Romans 10, verses 17. And Paul says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. Okay, so our trust in God, if we don't know who God is and what to expect from the Lord, how are we going to trust Him? How are we going to grow our faith in Him? So faith requires us to spend time in God's Word. So your times, your Bible times, of quiet times in the morning, whenever it is, spending time in God's Word and listening to teaching, that's going to grow your faith. So let's make sure we're doing that. Okay, the next one is really about special godly relationships. And we've talked quite a bit about the importance of connection in church and getting involved in a small connect group, and that's a critical place where this does happen. But I think there's a lot of different ways that people can really speak into our lives. I think often it's when there are tough times and we say, flip, I don't know what's going on here. How should I handle it? And then we'll go to someone. So if you've got relationships with people that are grounded in God's Word, and you're able to speak to them and trust them and share your heart with them through those times, that relationship is going to see you through and it's going to strengthen your faith. And I think really about when we think about our kids, and if we want our kids' faith to grow, they are so dependent on this. Especially the kids when they're young and they're not reading the Word and they're not so interested in those sort of things. It's our relating with them. How are we coming alongside them? How are we mentoring them? That's what's going to really help to grow their faith. So it's like the water on the little seed. The relationships can really be like water to that. And read in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So we know that by talking together, by encouraging one another, that can really help to grow our faith as well. Okay, the next one is one that you probably don't want to hear about. None of us really want to hear about. And it's one that James starts talking about, and it's trouble. And if we read from James, he's got a really strange view on things. So let's read this verse together. It says, so James 1, 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now that's the last thing that I bet is on our minds. As soon as something goes wrong, we say, oh, flip, oh no, this is a disaster. That's our natural response. But James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Okay, so that those trying times can produce perseverance in us. And I like what James continues to say. He said, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be pure, complete. And I think it's so easy in this world just to focus on what's going on around us, our circumstances, where Jesus is concerned with our faith. He's concerned with our hearts and our eternal destiny. This life is not just about our living. It's about our relating with the Lord and one day living with Him forever. Now I think there's two different aspects that can when we talk about trouble, I think there are two different elements to it. The one is that we land up getting into it when there's a circumstance like a blown tire or something goes wrong in our lives. But there are also other ways that essentially we can step into trouble and we can do it purposefully. Pat, if you don't mind just putting up the next one. Can you go back one? I think some of the animation's maybe not working. Okay. I'll just speak to it then. But the picture that I had in my mind when I was preparing was this idea of roots growing. And as a root grows, it starts off as a single stem or a single root shoot. But as that grows, that root starts to branch. And if you look at a tree that's really well established, it's got those branches spread wide. And I really just felt that, you know, what God wants us to do is He wants to start off our faith, yes, and trusting Him for our salvation one day. But actually what He wants us to do is He wants to grow that faith and that trust into every area of our lives. He wants us to create a branch where we trust in God for our kids. He wants to create a branch that we trust in God for our marriages. He wants to create a branch where we trust in God for whatever it is, our work, our friendships. And I think in some cases we trust God for a small thing or one thing. And God can use trouble to create a branch in our faith. That was kind of the picture that I had of taking our faith as it starts small and getting it to grow. And sometimes it's trouble that can do that. And I said there were two different things that can get us into trouble. The one is the challenging circumstances where, flip, we're suddenly thrown into something and we now got to handle things. Another element is actually taking a step of faith into ministry or doing something for the Lord. I certainly say for me, I felt that this last year, we were sort of suddenly thrown into leadership in church. It's amazing how when you throw yourself into something and say, God, I need help. I don't know how to do this. How God also grows you. So I think also, you know, as we step out, God can also grow us. We're almost saying, God, I'm putting myself out there in trouble, but asking you to extend me and to grow me. Okay. And just a thanks, Pat, if we can do the next one. So I think the question though is then how should we handle trouble? And I really thought there's three ways we can do this. And I think each of us in many different situations we all land up having trouble. And the first one is probably very easy, and I'm sure some of us have done it. We blame God. We're saying, God, how I love you, or whatever it is, but why am I in this place? And we say it's His fault. And I think that's very easy to do. But unfortunately, blaming God doesn't really get us anywhere, does it? The next thing we can do is ignore God. And I think this is very easy, particularly in like a work context where things are just busy, you've got to go, there's a big problem come up. It's very easy just to say, well, I'm going to sort it out. And we do it. We do it, but we do it on our own strength and we essentially ignore God. And that's not going to grow our faith at all, is it? If God's not part of the picture, we might get through it, we might not. But the truth is that we're going to be no closer to our relationship with God if we ignore Him through those circumstances. And we'll miss out on so much. But really, what God wants us to do in the middle of trouble is to trust Him. I think that's what it's saying in James, is that trouble is a chance to grow our trust in the Lord. And we're given some practical advice in Scripture about how to do that. So if we can go into the next one there, Pat, that'd be great. And I mean, there's lots of advice in Scripture. So if you read your word, you'll find lots of good suggestions when things are going bad, what to do. But one thing we really are asked to do is to focus on Jesus. So don't focus on your circumstances. Look to Jesus. And in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, "And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So when trouble comes, let's look to Jesus and trust Him to see us through. We're also called to stand firm. And I think that that picture of crossing over to the Jordan, where the Israelites had to cross over and take over Jericho, there was the element that they really needed to be strong and courageous. And we're called to be strong and courageous as well in our circumstances, not to get us to give up. And 1 Corinthians says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous and be strong. So that's a call for each of us, to be strong in those times, those circumstances that are tough. Right, thanks. Let's move to the next one. Okay, now, that got me thinking, if trouble is there to grow us, I know a lot of people where trouble has done the opposite and has actually caused their faith to collapse. Are there any people that you know that have actually turned from God through trouble? I know my mom-in-law in a sense is not, yeah, my father's new wife, she's doesn't trust the Lord at all. And she went through a situation where her husband had cancer, and someone told her that, you know, he's got cancer because he's not following God and God's disciplining him. That was what she was told. And then she told other people, say, were saying, well, you know, God says he will heal him. You know, God doesn't always promise these things. And if your faith is founded on false teaching, you're going to lose your faith. You're going to be disheartened. So that's why it's so important to understand when trouble comes, what is it that we're trusting God for? If we're trusting God for the wrong things, the chances are we're actually going to be discouraged. We're going to lose faith rather than gaining faith. Does that make sense? So I just want to quickly highlight some things that we can trust God for. I'm not going to go into too much detail on them, but let's go through those briefly. So the first one is we can trust God for wisdom. And it's really, what do we do in times of trouble? And we all have that question, flip, I'm in a tough spot, what do I do? We can trust God for wisdom. And this comes from James 1 verses 5 to 8. I'm battling to read here. It's not very clear there either, so yeah, I'll try and read it. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So if you need wisdom, ask your generous God and he will give it to you. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person who is divided with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. So God's saying, I've got wisdom, but trust me for that wisdom. Okay. Right, the next thing is one that we love to say yes, is wealth. Now, can we trust God for wealth and blessings in the middle of trouble? Or even in our life as a whole? That's a big topic. But reading from James, this is what he says. And this is Jesus' brother speaking, I guess. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, he says. God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all the achievements. In reading this, it doesn't say that God doesn't love the rich or doesn't love the poor. But to me, what it's saying is that God is ambivalent to either. He loves both rich and poor. And we can't trust God in the middle of circumstances for wealth. I don't believe we can. I think if God wants to honor us with wealth, he will do that. But just to think that that's automatically something that God will do, I'd say that's a step too far. God's more interested in our heart and our walk with him than he is about our money. Okay. The next one is something that I think we can trust God for as well, and it's direction. And we all need this. So we're going to ask God for wisdom, what do I do? We're going to also ask God specifically for direction. And Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So we can trust God for direction. And I think that's, for me, whenever I end up with a big decision, I go to the Lord. And it's something that's so encouraging to know that as we ask, he will lead us. Okay. Another really wonderful thing that God offers in times of trouble is refuge for us. He doesn't say he's going to solve all our problems, but he says, come to me for refuge. I will give you refuge. And in many verses it talks about God being a shield for us. You can imagine in an army, if there's a battle going on, how a shield can protect you from what's going on. It's a place of shelter. So Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. He's not saying you won't experience trouble. He says he's ready to help in times of trouble. Psalm 18:30, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. So He's there to help us and to protect us through times of trouble. Another one which I was really encouraged by is that He offers us peace. And Tony spoke to this at the end of last year as well about God being, giving us perfect peace. And I think this is something that we need in trouble. Often when trouble comes, we get anxious. It's the first thing that happens is we get anxious. What about what's next? If our kids aren't going well, things aren't going at school, we start getting anxious about it. If our marriage is taking a bit of strain, we get anxious about these things. God says, come to me and I will give you peace. And that is something that we all need. We need peace. So He offers to bring us in, to be our refuge, and to give us peace. So we're just going to read one of those verses from John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give to you, I give as the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Okay. Then the next one is that we can know that God is with us as well. So God doesn't, when we're suddenly in trouble, it doesn't mean that God's not with us. Because sometimes I think we can think that, like if something's gone wrong, I've done something wrong, God's not with me, He doesn't care about me. That's not the case. God is with us. And read in Deuteronomy 31:6. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. And this is a promise to the Israelites at the time when they were crossing over the river. But it's a promise for God today. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us. Even in the hardest of times of trouble, He's with us. So we can take hold of that. He promises to be with us. And what we also know is that God is for us. But not just with us, He's for us. And how we need people to be for us in our lives. So Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God. That's a God who is for us. So even if things do go wrong around us, we can trust that God will work those things together for good if we're trusting in Him. Okay, so does that give you a bit more foundation, I guess, in terms of what we can trust God for? So He doesn't promise to not bring trouble, or that we won't have trouble come our way. Trouble will come. It will come. But these are the things that we can trust God for. And as we trust God for these things, and we realize that God does give me peace, He does give me refuge, He sees me through our faith, and our trust in Him will grow. Okay, another way that God grows our faith is through discipline. And I think this is something that none of us like to really talk about. Certainly as kids, we would have hated the idea of discipline. But I think as fathers and mothers who discipline our kids, we understand the importance of discipline in a very different way to the ones that we're receiving it as kids, don't we? As kids, it's the last thing we want. But as parents, it's often the thing that we realize our kids most need because we love them. And discipline is so important for us in our spiritual walk because God wants to grow us. He knows what's best for us. So we read it in Proverbs 3:11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. As a father, the son He delights in. So God is like us as fathers. He does discipline us. But I think there's a big difference between trouble that I was speaking about earlier and discipline. Trouble is external circumstances often that just come across our path. And we live in a world that is broken, where all sorts of trouble comes. But discipline is different. Discipline's about our loving God coming alongside us and trimming us. It's very different. And so the picture that we get from John 15:1-5, if we can go to that next, is the one of the vine and the vine dress. And I think that's just such an amazing picture of actually what this discipline thing looks like. It's not God coming and giving us a swat over the head and saying, come right. It's Him drawing close to us and trimming off things in our lives that are not quite right so that we can bear fruit. That is amazing. So he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And that's what he's wanting for us as well, is that he wants us to be fruitful. And if it means he's going to cut and shape us a bit, he's going to do that in us. We can move on to the next verse there, Pat. But I think just an important thing that, and this is again going back to what James says in James 12 to 15, it's important for us to differentiate between discipline and temptation. And temptation is something that sometimes you can feel, look, this is a horrible thing that's coming out of nowhere. What is this for? And temptation doesn't come from God. And really it says very clearly in James that temptation comes from our own hearts, our own sinfulness, when we enticed to do something that we know we shouldn't do. So let's read quickly what James says. He says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive a crown of life that he has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Okay, so we need to watch out for temptation though, because temptation can also rob us of fruitfulness and rob us of our walk with the Lord as well. Okay, so that's pretty much what I wanted to share today, a bit of an overview about what faith is. So just to summarize then, I think if we look at this picture again, faith is very much about trusting God. It's putting our trust in God. And he wants those roots of trust to grow. And he does that through a whole lot of ways in our lives. But I think as we grow, we want to move from having a short little root, stumpy root that doesn't grow, to a root that we trust in God in all areas of our lives. And we're trusting him deeply. When we have, no matter what comes, we're trusting him deeply. And then our walk of faith, I've said, is just as important as trusting. And it really, in many ways, it reflects exactly what's going on under the ground. So what people see is actually going to be a reflection of our trust and our faith. We're told that in many different places of Scripture. It's like the overflow of your heart. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. So the way we live is a reflection of our hearts. Okay. And then just running through those different aspects briefly. Thanks, Pat. There are a few clicks here. First of all, we can prepare the soil of our hearts. That's something we can each do if we want to grow our faith. Next, we can spend time in God's Word. That's where we're going to get to grips with the foundations of who God is and what he offers for us. That's going to grow our faith. It's going to be like fertilizer to us. So if you want our faith to grow, put fertilizer on it. Spend time in God's Word. The next thing is people. Especially when things are tough, go to people that love God and that you trust. And it'll help you walk through this time. And develop those relationships. And be that person to your kids and to others when they're in times of trouble. We need to water one another. We need to water one another's faith. So testimonies like Grant shared today, that's watering. It's watering. Watering us. So thanks for that, buddy. Okay, and the next one was trouble that I spoke about. And just this idea that trouble can cause growth. And God wants growth. So sometimes he'll use that trouble to grow us. And the final thing was that if we want to be fruitful and we want to see those fruits, that's what God wants to see in us. He's going to sometimes discipline us as well to see that we are fruitful in the way that he's called us to be. Okay, so that's it from me today. I think I'd just like to close in prayer. That's right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you that as we took that first step of trust, you came into our lives and you started something beautiful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we took that step, a root started to grow and a plant started to grow. And Lord Jesus, we know that what you're wanting from us is to see that little plant grow into a beautiful tree. A beautiful tree, Lord, that is producing fruit of love, of goodness, that people in this community are able to taste, that our family can see. And Lord Jesus, I just pray for each of us here that you would grow our tree, that you would grow the fruit that we show, fruit that reveals who you are and our trust in you, Lord Jesus. So I just pray, Lord Jesus, that if there are also people here in our church that are going through trouble, Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that you say that you're going to be our refuge, that you're going to be our peace, that you offer us to walk alongside us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for anyone here today who's going through trouble. I just pray that you would see them through this trouble, Lord, that you would grow their trust in you. And Lord, as they trust in you, we know that you say you're going to work all things together for good. So Lord, we really just pray that over whoever's going through trouble in our church today. Please, won't you work things together for their good as they trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Doug.